Matthew chapter 8. Then he got into the boat and with his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "O you of little faith, why are you afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him."
We've heard this passage over and over, and we read it with the knowledge, knowing, oh, Jesus, he's the Son of God. Silly disciples. Why weren't they just sitting calmly in the boat as the water rocked them back and forth? What wimps. But I don't think their reaction was unreasonable. Their reaction was unreasonable at all. They'd given up so much. They had trusted this man. And maybe, just maybe, at the time when it really matters, he's not at all who he had seemed to be. And no doubt they were thinking, we're fools. Fools for following him onto a lake in a storm. And how much might this sound like our lives today? We have been found by Jesus, and for a long time it has been amazing. You've seen God at work in the world. You've experienced so much. But now an unexpected and hard situation has come up, and the storm has rolled in. And you may be even wondering, did you get it wrong? Are you a fool? A fool for believing the promises of a man that walked the earth 2,000 years ago. Next, the disciples wake Jesus up, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Jesus replies, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" What kind of a response is that? Of course they're afraid. They're about to drown. And for whatever reason, Jesus decides to take this time to give them a lesson about faith. Really? You of little faith. Such a piercing thing to say. You of little faith. What does that even mean? Then Jesus got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." The word faith today has become a real airy-fairy word. In today's secular culture, most, I think, would define it as to believe in something you can't prove or detect, much like fairies or ghosts. But in the New Testament, faith is to do with trust. The disciples had trusted Jesus so far, with good reason, considering all they had seen. But now things had gotten out of hand, and it was their lack of understanding of who Jesus is what Jesus is getting at when he says, "You of little faith." He is saying, "You still don't know who I am, and that's why you panic and look at the storm instead of looking at me. You still don't trust me." But what the disciples don't understand, a centurion early in the chapter does. Jesus is in Capernaum, and a centurion asks, "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at a home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed, for I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell this one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." Then when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. What the centurion understands that the disciples still don't get was that Jesus has authority. And the centurion trusts or has faith in that authority. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Whereas the disciples' reaction was to wake Jesus up and inform him of the outcome. Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And it was with just the word, Jesus calmed the storm. It was that power, that demonstration of authority, that finally made the penny drop for them. What other story from the Old Testament were the winds and waters controlled? Go for a guess, go. Pick one. What's that? Jonah, yes, one. Any others? Red Sea, yes, that's the one I've got. Yes, we've got the Exodus story. So the Exodus story is the story of God liberating his people from slavery. This is the foundation story for the Israelites. And it's their go-to for showing God's power and faithfulness. So, if you've got your Bibles ready, let's turn to Exodus chapter 14, starting at verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there they were, the Egyptians, marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." It's kind of scary, similar, just like the disciples screaming at Jesus, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Both stories, they have trusted the person they've been following so far, but the moment it gets rough, they panic and assume God has led them astray. Verse 13 to 14, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Can you hear it? "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Verse 21 to 22, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove back the sea with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. From verse 26, then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so the waters will flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back into its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered it, the chariots and the horsemen. The entire army of the Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived, but the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displaying against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. This event became the foundation story for who God was. His faithfulness to his chosen people, his majesty and power as he wielded the raw power of the wind and waves. And throughout the Old Testament, this event would be retold to demonstrate the majesty and power and faithfulness of God. Psalm 106, "We have sinned even as our ancestors did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your kindnesses. And they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his namesake, to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up. He led them through the depths as though a desert." We as humans share the humbling that the ocean gives us. The raw power. We have come a really long way of manipulating the land and the environment to best suit us, but we still nowhere near taming the sea. And in Jewish culture, the sea was a sign of chaos, that only one could control, the one, the Creator God. And it's also amazing how much certain uniforms can carry so much authority. My brother-in-law is a very, very down-to-earth guy. Easy to get along with. You can sit and chat with him for hours. But he's also a policeman. So although I know him really well in everyday life, the few times I have seen him in uniform, I can't help but feel a little bit nervous, maybe even intimidated. And it's because we've all been raised knowing that that uniform carries authority. Jesus didn't have special clothes or a uniform, but the things that he has been doing so far in Matthew's gospel, if you were an Israelite and had been raised on the retelling of the time God himself controlled the wind and water to save his people, these signs would have been as clear as my brother's police uniform. Jesus so far has shown authority by speaking in God's place in the Sermon on the Mount. He had shown authority over disease, by healing. And after this story, he will show authority over the demonic. And finally, the message is loud and clear enough for the disciples to understand. When Jesus shows authority over the elements, the Exodus story replays in their mind. And they realize who is in the boat with them. Not just another teacher, not a mere performer of wonders, but the Creator of the universe, Yahweh. And to say that they were amazed is a huge understatement. It was more like the feeling you get when you go onto the edge of a lookout of the Blue Mountains, and the sheer breadth and depth and scope kind of makes you weak at the knees. The disciples finally understood who they were following. Through this series, we are looking at the sticking points of being a disciple of Jesus. And from this passage, we see that following Jesus will be at times stormy, and the clouds will roll in. The seas will rock your boat, and you may be afraid. You may ask the question, is Jesus worth it? Even ask, was I better off before I met him? But you see, instead of panicking at the waves around you, look at Jesus. Understanding who he is and the authority he carries, then you will be able to trust that with a word he can calm any storm. Psalm 89, who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. For some of you here today, you are sitting in the middle of a storm. You may be having problems at home, an unexpected change of life, struggling with finances, loneliness, health concerns with endless doctor's visits. And it feels like the chaotic waters are rising, and you may identify with this psalm, Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the murky depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters, the flood engulfs me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched, my eyes fail, looking for my God. If you don't trust in Jesus and his authority over your life, you may feel like the disciples in the boat and the Israelites in Exodus, asking, why, God? Why have you led me here? And in the turmoil of your storm, I want to ask you, where are you looking? Are you looking at the situation around you, the storm waves crashing? Or are you looking at the one whom all has all authority, and with but a word controls the winds and the waves? If I may, I would like to share with you one of my biggest fears, but I have two conditions. First condition, no walking around on eggshells around me. Second condition, please don't stop giving me feedback after services, because I love and value it very much. Do you all agree? Thank you. So, for as long as I can remember, I have been sitting in a storm. I'm actually dyslexic. And I won't go into all the ins and outs of what it is, but it has been something that's affected many aspects of my life. At school, it took my self-confidence. It convinced me that I was dumb. And to this day, I'm plagued with anxiety and memories. And one story that comes to mind that I'll never forget was the end of year one. So in my class in year one, you had like a thing called an underdesk where you keep all your books and your papers, and everyone else's was very neat. And towards the end of the year, it's like, all right, it's time to clean out your desks. And I was panicking because no one else knew, but I knew that I'd hid every single worksheet from that year under my desk and crammed it in as much as possible because I was too ashamed to hand it in and have the teacher mark it. And as everyone cleared out the desks within 2 seconds, because I had nothing under there, it came to my turn and I was panicking and I was trying to hold off for as long as possible. And then suddenly the teacher pulled everything out of my desk. And the look of my teacher and all the kids in the class face still haunts me to this day. One aspect that really does affect me is my reading out loud. So whenever I say lead service here, I really am facing one of my deepest fears. I have to wade through a sea of self-doubt, the fear of stuffing up and people laughing at me. But I know that Jesus knows me better than I know myself. And for whatever reason, he has brought me here to this spot. So as I walk up the stairs, instead of looking at the waves around me, because I'm kind of really sick of looking at them because they've only ever held me back, I look at Jesus and I know that I will get through that because he alone can calm every storm. So, and I also cling to this verse, James 1:2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So seeing that you have all been around the traps in Christianity far longer than I have, I've been a Christian for 5 years, I want to ask you 8 o'clock the question, do you reckon Christ can get me through another 5 years? Yes. That's right. How about 20? How about the other side of heaven's door? And it's the same with all of you. Focus on Jesus because he will get you through any storm. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the comfort of your promises and the word that you brought us today. Lord, I pray for all of us here today that as we're facing whatever storm we're in, that we've heard you clearly. Look to you and all things will be calm. I pray all this in your son's name. Amen.